Well, hello, Modern Mystics, and welcome to the year-end wrap-up call for 2017. I can't believe how fast this year has gone by. It's just mind-blowing to me. It all seems like such a blur, and I'm sure it feels that way for you guys, too. It's like, it just started. It just began. So wherever you are in the world, I hope you had an awesome Merry Christmas, that you got a chance to practice the winter solstice ritual that we did, that over Christmas you got some time to spend with your family and the people who have meaning for you, whether it's your chosen family or your given family. And I also hope you got the chance to take some really important and special sacred time for yourself. Regardless of where you are on the planet, this time of year, whether you're in the Northern Hemisphere or the Southern Hemisphere, is a time of planting seeds and deep inner reflection, going into the inner soil of our nature to give birth to that Christed child, that divine light. And it's so interesting because I was doing a coaching call with a client of mine in Australia this week. And, you know, they're on the other side of the world, so it's rolling into summer for them. So, you know, it's different for us on the Northern Hemisphere, where we're rolling into winter. And, you know, we were talking about this time of year being this really ripe time for self-reflection, for quietness, for solitude, for inner stillness, you know, like the womb of the Virgin Mary gives the space for that divine new life to emerge. And she had said, you know, it's really interesting, Simone, that you should say that even though we're rolling into summer in Australia, that right after what the people in the Commonwealth, Canada, the UK, would call Boxing Day, which is the day after Christmas, she said it's really amazing that on that day, it's like everything stops and everything gets really quiet. And so it was really cool and interesting to hear that perspective on the Southern Hemisphere, that even when they're rolling into summer, she senses and feels, and she doesn't even sense and feel, she sees it, that everything really slows down and everything really stops to sort of prepare for the new cycle of time that starts on solstice. You know, December 21st is, if you're looking at it astrologically, that's when the sun moves into Capricorn, which is the beginning of the new yearly cycle. December 21st is when it rolls into Capricorn. And so that's the start of the new year. So it was really a really wonderful and interesting validation to hear from somebody who lives on the other side of the world, who's rolling into summer, that this time of planting and deep inner reflection is global, regardless of where you are on the planet. So I hope you had an opportunity to take some time for yourself to be able to really just sit and be in that position of care and kindness and stillness for yourself, so that when you did go into spending time with family and loved ones, that you had all the extra resources that you needed to be in that position point of peace and power. So hope you had an awesome Christmas. And now today is the 30th of December, one more day of 2017, and then we roll into 2018, and it's going to be an awesome year. And what I want to do before we dive into the teaching is, I wanted to share a bunch of cool things that are coming forward in the new year, so that, you know, you guys as members of Modern Mystics, you get first dibs on a lot of things. And so there's a lot of really cool things that I'm really excited about sharing with you guys, sort of meant to serve you and support you and have fun and deepen your practice, and that I get to sort of step out in a bigger way. And so I wanted to share those things with you. The first thing that I wanted to share with you is that coming in the new year is a Modern Mystics Redwoods retreat. It's a 5-day retreat in Northern California, the Northern California Redwoods, deep in the heart of the Redwood Forest, a 5-day retreat where we're going to take 5 days to really deepen our practice, to learn lots of new mystical skills, to meet new mystics from all over the world, to come together, to partner, to work together to create really powerful energetic systems, to deepen our mystical practice, to deepen our ability to break apart shadow and limitations, to have lots of fun. I've created an awesome 5-day retreat where we're not only going to be doing two little workshops per day, but we're also going to be going out on adventures where we're going to be doing archery and rock climbing, and we're going to be doing walks through the forest where we can wild source herbs. We're going to cultivate our own elixirs and do a lot of herbal work to shape our own alchemical sort of potions and blends for ourselves. We're going to have a lot of time for play and fun and practice. We're going to call on the power of our light. We're going to call on the power of our shadow and really build some powerful mystical muscles. I suppose we could consider this a mystical boot camp over the course of 5 days. It happens at the end of March. I know it's short notice, but the opportunity came up to have this gorgeous 200-acre redwood forest camp all to ourselves. And I just couldn't pass it up. So I said, yeah, I think if you know, I've always wanted to do a retreat on a location, and this opportunity came up to do it in the redwood forest. And I said, yeah, I'm going to do it. So I'm going to be sending out an announcement probably in the next couple of days. And again, you guys as modern mystics, you get first dibs. Space is limited, and I've got some early bird pricing, and it is really affordable for the 5 days. It's really awesome. So I wanted to share that with you to stay tuned for that. I'm also going to be launching my Modern Mystics podcast in the next couple of weeks here, where it's going to be sort of, you know, what we do in Modern Mystics in membership, but a little bit more refined, a little bit different. The lessons aren't going to be the same, but it's going to be an opportunity to get the teachings out in a more global way. I wanted to know how I could serve more people and really sort of step out in a bigger way. And so the podcast is going to launch in mid-January. And again, you guys, as being members of Modern Mystics, how I'm going to shape that with in the new year is to not only do some teaching on each call or each episode, but to also answer questions and do coaching on episodes. And so you guys as Modern Mystics, when space comes up for people to either call in live and have their questions answered live on the podcast or to submit their questions, you guys will have first dibs on that when those spaces for coaching come available. So that's also an awesome benefit of you guys being memberships, being part of membership, is you'll get you get first dibs on that. And then my initiation level one class will be repeating again in January, but then I'm also adding an initiation level two class for those of you who are members who have already taken the initiation level one. We're going to be adding an initiation level two. In initiation level one, we really did sort of the first stages of an initiation, moving from self to soul. And in initiation level two, we're going to be moving more from soul into sun or source energy, into that field of intelligence and information. So if you've taken initiation level one, then the initiation level two class that will happen after the retreat at the beginning of April will be something you might want to consider. And if you haven't taken in the initiation class yet, I really encourage you to do it. It's certainly a supplement and a support for any of the work that you're doing with Modern Mystics. Dives into stuff really, really deeply and intensively. You can't take level two unless you've taken level one, because level one is the foundation. So stay tuned for both of those things. Again, I'll be making announcements as it relates to both of those classes in the days to come. So I just wanted to park those announcements in here first, because I'm really excited to share all those things with you. The second thing I want to be able to say to you guys and is to say congratulations, and to say to every single one of you, every single one of you. Some of you have been in membership with me from the very beginning. Some of you have come on board in recent months. But what I want to say to all of you who have been members, either new or long timers, is congratulations, and to say how proud I am of you, and just to express my awe and my sort of to give you a wink and a nod and a thumbs up to say, you, congratulations and good work. You know, the spiritual path, if you're doing it really properly, is not easy. Contrary to, you know, what we've been conditioned in the spiritual new age that says, if you're walking the spiritual path, that everything is going to be light and roses and fairy dust and happy daisy, fluffy bunnies and cottontails. It's just not the truth, because as we walk the mystical path, we're breaking apart old physical constructs physical constructs that may have been in our consciousness for lifetimes, for millennia. And so when we commit to walking this mystical path in a really deep way, it's challenging. And you know, all you need to do is look at 2017 and look at the world. And I know I've heard stories from so many of our members that faced challenges this year, and they stayed resilient, and they bucked up, and they just said, you know what, this is hard and this is challenging, but I know there's something greater in me. I know I'm more powerful than the circumstances that exist around me. And I know there's more consciousness available to me if I stick to the path. And so for everyone on the mystical journey, it really is a hero's journey. And when you walk a hero's journey, there are going to be trials and tribulations. There are going to be challenges that tempt you to turn back, to tempt you to give up, to tempt you to not follow your intuition, to tempt you to quit when the going gets tough. And for all of you guys who have stayed the course and stayed committed to the work, even when it's felt overwhelming, or even when you felt like you haven't had enough time, or even when you felt like, you know, there's just, I haven't caught up with all of the work, but you've just stayed the course, I really want to thank you and commend you and give you a big virtual hug, and to just give you a high five to say, that's really awesome. That, you know, that level of commitment is what is required to make transformation happen. Because invariably, right before a big breakthrough occurs is when things get turbulent, is when things get rough, is when resistance shows up, and is when our old patterns start to emerge, and it feels more comfortable to shift into those old limitations. And so as you guys have stayed the course and stayed true through 2017, regardless of what obstacles or limitations or turbulence has shown up, and you've stuck to your mystical path, I really want to thank you and commend you and congratulate you and honor you for everything that you've maneuvered through over the course of 2017, and to let you know how honored and privileged I feel to have you guys as members. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And it's as you maintain your focus on your mystical path, it does get easier. You do start to become more fluent in the language of mysticism. You do start to develop mystical muscles that you didn't know you had, and that through your conditioning and your upbringing, you never gave yourself permission to use. So as your mystical mentor, as your teacher, as your coach, you know, it's my job to push you beyond boundaries and limitations, and to encourage you to move forward and to call your greatness out. And so I see that in all of you, and for those of you who have contributed questions and everything else over the course of our months and our coaching, I just want to say thanks. And I'm very proud, and I think you're all awesome. So there's that. So let's roll into the coaching. What we're going to do as we roll into this sort of year-end wrap-up is we're going to touch on a few things to sort of set the stage for what we're rolling into 2018. You know, this is a time of year where everyone starts to set New Year's resolutions, and it's you know, sort of a clean slate. It's a palate cleanser, if you will, to sort of clear away everything that to start really deliberately clearing away the things that no longer serve us, and to step more powerfully into the things that we want and love and want to create in our world. And so what I want to do with this call is to be able to say, let's sort of set the foundation so that as you move into New Year's, you know, and I don't set New Year's resolutions. Part of our mystical work, when we do our daily meditations as a part of our practice, when we do our peace and power work on a daily basis, we set daily resolutions. So that's kind of how I want you to view the work that you do when you're doing your daily meditation work, is that becomes a daily resolution, or how you're going to shape your day, how you're going to shape your being, how you're going to shape your attitudes, how you're going to shape your energy. That's what we're doing when we do our daily mystical practice. But what's kind of fun about doing a New Year's resolution or a New Year's ritual, with a mystical understanding and a background behind it, is we understand why we're doing it. But what I also want you guys to be able to understand is that when we plant a daily, whether it's a daily resolution, our daily mystical work, or if it's a big whoop like the New Year's resolutions or the New Year's ritual that we're going to do, I want you to think of it like a farmer planting a seed. And we've talked about this before, but it's really important and crucial for us to be able to understand these principles and to break the fluff of the New Age law of attraction, spiritual, all is love and light idea that if you just, vibrate high and do a ritual, that it's just going to drop into your lap. I want you to think of the idea that when we do a ritual, when we set an intention, when we plant a resolution, when we're doing our daily resolutions and then our big time New Year's resolutions, it's like a farmer planting a seed in a field, right? Now, if the farmer were just to drop that seed in the field and not do anything to nurture it or sustain it or care for it or pull out the weeds when the weeds pop up, or, if he didn't water it, if he didn't, go out in the field and share his love and his care and his attention and his focus and his desire for that seed to sprout, well, that little seed would not sprout. It might over time, but it might be kind of wimpy and it might not come to its full growth potential. So the farmer, even though there's all of this potential carried in the seed, all of this information, all of this power, all of this limitless, just think of how many apples exist in one apple seed. There's limitless potential carried in the seed. Absolutely. Absolutely. But the farmer is essential to the growth of that seed. And we, as mystics, we are the farmers of that seed. So whenever we're planting an intention, whenever we're setting a resolution, whenever we're doing ritual, think of it as planting the seed. And then it's our job moving forward. And in the physical, we plant the seed in the spiritual. We plant the seed using our ritual. We plant the seed using our mystical tools and our skills and going into the subconscious and all that other stuff. But then when we go out and about into the world, we as farmers, knowing that that seed is planted, we have to do as much as we can in our ability, in our power, to nurture that seed, to honor it, to prepare for it, to make it welcome. Just like if you're pregnant, for those of you who have had children, when you know that the seed has been planted, you prepare for that baby. If you're the mom, you're sure that you eat well, that you exercise, that you get rest. If you shape a nursery, you paint a room, you do shopping, you have a baby shower. You make that little seed, that new little sprout of potential, you make it welcome. Now, the baby would show up anyway, but in order for that baby to feel really nurtured and honored and respected and tended and cared for, then there's a huge level of responsibility and care and action and attention that is required from us, so that when that baby does show up, that it is happy and healthy and whole and feels safe and loved, et cetera, even before it pops into this world. And so that is our duty. I don't even want to call it a job. It's our duty as mystics to say, all right, I understand my mystical tools, my mystical principles, and how it works as I plant them in energetically. But then it's also my duty to these seeds that I am planting to be sure that they are welcomed and that they are nurtured and that they are cared for. And there are things that I need to do in the physical in order for that to happen. What a lot of people will tend to do in the spiritual community is they'll do their work in the mystical, they'll do their work on their meditation pillow, and then they just let the seed sit there. They don't do anything to support it or nurture it in the physical. And so the seed dies. It's planted in the spiritual, but it doesn't have a welcome conduit for the physical. And so the seed dies. And so this is, again, why I want to give you guys props and thumbs up and congratulations to you who've stuck and stayed committed to your work, is that is the duty, but then it also becomes the joy, because when you start to see, as you start to take action and you start to embody and you the work and you start to understand the principles and you start to realize that, okay, the physical world is how that seed is going to sprout. It has, it's already full and complete in the spiritual world, but the physical world and how we behave in the physical world, how we take action in the physical world, our habits, our attitudes, our patterns, how we spend our time, that shapes the result, the outcome for this little bitty seed. So I want you to, as we move into 2018, I want you to really start to pay attention in that level of awareness of checking in with yourself and saying, am I doing as much as I can in a day-to-day moment or day-to-day action, day-to-day awareness, even moment-to-moment awareness of being a noble steward, of the visions that I'm planting for the future, a noble caretaker. And a farmer is a noble steward. A steward is somebody who makes room or space for something to come forward. And so to check in with yourself, and it doesn't need to be overwhelming. It doesn't need to be a burden. It's just, we understand these principles and we step into that understanding with a degree of grace responsibility, and kind of a noble acceptance to say, okay, I've planted these seeds just like you would if you were an expectant mom, and you say, it's my noble duty to be a steward for this seed as it moves forward. And so this brings us to a reminder of our understanding of, as we're moving forward into 2018 and we're having, and 2018, as I said in our announcement, our little email announcement for this call, is for us as modern mystics, is the year of vision. The year of vision. And there's a mystical statement that says, a country without vision will fail. It's more eloquent than that, but any kingdom without a vision will fail. So if we don't have a vision for our future, it won't come to fruition. It won't happen. And so then this is again why, you know, you've heard me say it over and over and over again, that we as mystics, we're very clear. We get very clear. We solidify our vision. We get clear about our intent. We allow our inspirations, those things that come forward to move us, and we grab them and we say, yeah, I'm going to shape that. I'm going to create it. And so without vision, a kingdom will perish. There's the quote. Without a vision, a kingdom will perish. And so 2018 for us is the year of vision. 2017 for us in modern mystics was the year of initiation. And we've all had it. We've all felt it. The whole world is feeling an initiation, which is a breaking apart of old structures, the burning away of old structures so that new structures can emerge. And even if you think of the idea of a farmer, you know, sometimes when a farmer is getting ready to plant a new crop, he will burn his fields to completely reduce the old prior crops to ash. That ash then is tilled back into the soil, and that ash is then used to fertilize the new crop. And so that's really, for a lot of people, what 2017 has been about. It's been about reducing life to ash. And then as 2018 rolls up, what we as mystics are doing is we're saying, okay, 2017, I reduced everything that I don't need anymore to ash. And now I'm going to till that into the soil. I'm going to use the ripe and fertile ash that has been created by this initiation. And I'm going to till it into the creative womb of my future. And I'm going to use that ash to support and nurture and nourish my future. So 2017 was the year of initiation. And the year before that, 2016, was the year of power. So you can see how, now power, as you've heard me say over and over again, is the ability to shape, hold, and direct energy, right? Like a power plant moves energy. The energy is available to us constantly, but unless we operate as a conduit through which that energy can be shaped and formed and held and nurtured, then it'll just sit there. It'll just be invisible. We won't be able to use it. So we can see how everything that we're building on, power, initiation, and now vision, is going to continue to support us as we move forward. And so 2018 is the year of vision. And so what I want you to be able to start to consider is, as we move into 2018, is to start to consider what your visions are for the new year. And you don't have to have a lot of them, but I want you to think of, you know, how you want to spend your time, how you want to share your creativity, how you want to, in whatever way it feels meaningful to you, how you want to serve. And, you know, as it relates to service, think of the idea that, and this oftentimes hits spiritual adventurers in a weird way. The truth of the matter is that we're not here to save the world. And we'll talk more about this in the months to come as it relates to understanding the true levels of reality in the 3D and the 4D, and that the Earth in her 3D nature and all of the weirdness that exists here, all of the strife and all of the beauty and all of the challenges and all of the grace and all of the light and all of the dark in the 3D dimension of this world, it exists in this way for a reason. All of the stuff that we're experiencing and all of the stuff that seems like it's so diabolical is actually, it's standing in service to our evolution. Without it, consciousness could not evolve. So as mystics, we look at what's going on in the world today and we don't say, oh man, I need to come in and save the world because it's going to hell in a handbasket. It is doing what it's doing to amplify and serve our own evolution. This planet has been here for billions and billions of years. It has gone through this process time and time again. It is literally a training ground for us to evolve out of it. If you remember in our mystical practice that we say that the self is shaped by 3D reality and the soul emerges out of it. So as mystics, certainly we have compassion and we want to bring goodness and we want to bring grace and we want to bring service and we want to bring understanding and we want to bring beauty to this world. But we understand that we don't need to panic about what's going on because it's actually serving our evolution. And again, we'll talk more and more about that in the year to come so that you understand the work that it is that we're doing here, And how and why we're doing it, there is not going to be some sort of one day where everybody becomes conscious and there is this grand ascension, where everybody ascends and rises to a higher dimension and the Earth becomes new. That's not at all what's going to happen. Ascension and evolution and awakening happens individually, one being at a time. To be an individual is really far more powerful than to be a collective. But when people who are individually powerful, who have done their work as individuals and clarified their consciousness individually, when those people gather, they can shape powerful transformation, which is why, you know, going on a retreat and gathering with other mystics is really important. You take your individual power and you group it in with others, and then really wonderful, magical, miraculous things can occur. But if that work is not done by the individual, then no change will happen. And so I want you to understand that as mystics, our job is our individual transformation is our priority. Our individual enlightenment, our individual awareness, our individual awakening, our individual transformation from spiritual lead into spiritual gold is our priority. Then what happens in the external world will take care of itself. And so if the world weren't so sideways and weren't so weird and putting us in these position points of pressure and pain and discomfort, then we wouldn't wake up. We'd just be floating along, you know, on the merry trail and be like, this is awesome. I don't need to grow. I don't need to transform. I don't need to wake up because this all just feels so wonderful. So we start to look at the 3D world and everything it offers us in its beauty and in its darkness, in its bliss and in its pain, as the tool through which we evolve. So we're not here to save the world. And this, again, this pisses a lot of people off when I say that. And I'll be like, Simone, how could you say that? Look at what's happening, the wars and the strife and the famine and the sexism and this and then that. It's like, again, we as mystics, we look at everything in the external world and we look at it and we bring our awareness to it. And we don't judge it in any way, shape or form. We observe it. And we look at it and we say, what is the underlying energy here? Is it powerlessness? Is it shame? Is it victimization? Is it joy? Is it abundance? Is it prosperity? Is it care? Is it compassion? And we witness those energies. And if it's victimization or powerlessness, we go, all right, how do I reshape that and restructure that in my own life? Because realizing that the external world is nothing but a reflection of our inner world, the global chaos is a reflection of the global collective, right? So we start to let ourselves off the hook and we look at the world and all that it contains and we say, this is a tool. This is a resource for me. I don't need to fear it. I don't need to hate it. I don't need to panic about it. I don't need to fear global destruction. It's a tool for my evolution. And that, just like when the farmer puts the seed into the dirt, that dirt is a tool for that seed's growth and evolution. And to be tilled into the soil, while it might be uncomfortable for the seed, is necessary. So we remember that. So as we move forward into 2018, as a mystic, we roll into 2018 going, ho, 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 bring it on. Okay, show me some juicy stuff that I can till into my soil so that my seed can grow, so that my vision, so that my power, so that my enlightenment can expand and set in roots and have this deep, powerful foundation. Without these roots that are deeply embedded in the dirt, in the darkness, then the seed cannot grow to spread its light and its leaves outward. So I want you to think of 2018, to roll into 2018, not only as a clean slate, but even with all the nuttiness that's going on in the world that 2017 has really brought to the surface, to say, all right, it's going to get richer. It's going to get richer. There's going to be more stuff to till into the dirt of transformation. And I'm ready for it in a joyful way so that we don't fear what's coming forward. We anticipate it. We look forward to it. We revel in it. Okay, so that's why I want you to look forward to 2018 in that way as well. And to really remember that the idea of consciousness shapes reality, right? What's going on in our inner world shapes our outer world. And so one of the most important things to understand as you roll into 2018, if we're using this analogy of being the farmer and the seed, and you think of yourself as what you're wanting to create as a vision, and imagine your visions, and we'll talk about that a little bit here as we move forward. Imagine that your vision is a seed. It is literally a seed. All of the ideas for the potential that you're carrying as you're wanting to move into the new year are carried in a tiny little seed. And, you know, just think of an acorn that is the seed of an oak tree. Carried within the seed of that acorn is the potential for millions and millions and millions and millions of trees. In that seed, right? That single seed will grow one oak tree that will put down, you know, hundreds of thousands of more acorns, and those acorns will sprout and grow trees that will grow hundreds of thousands of more acorns. And so there's a potential, limitless potential carried within that seed. So think of the idea that the farmer, you, who carries the seed, the vision, already possesses. You already have within the vision limitless potential, and that literally carried within the vision, if you're the farmer, you literally already have within your awareness, within your hand, within your being, you already possess the outcome, right? Just think of and imagine your vision as that seed. You're carrying it in your hand, and you say to yourself, it's already here. It's just carried in a little container, but it's already here. And so this brings us to the mystical, you know, driving home the mystical statement that we talked a lot about over 2017, that to he who has more shall be given. And I'll just, as a reminder, I'll remind you of the mystical quote. It is, to he who has, even more shall be given unto him. To he who has not, even that which he has will be taken from him. And so what people will hear in that statement, they'll think, well, that's kind of unkind of God, that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Well, it's a statement of consciousness. So as we're doing our mystical work, if we remember, in within our vision contains the potential for limitlessness. And so we as mystics, we say, I already possess, I already have within the seed of my inspiration, within the seed of my vision, the outcome that I'm wanting to create and all of the outcomes that are going to come as a result of the growth of my vision. It already exists. And so to he who has in consciousness, even more shall be given unto him. So if you carry a wealth consciousness, if you understand that your very nature as a spiritual and physical being is abundant, that you as a spark of the divine spark of intelligence, that you as a spark of that, as a firework of that, as an ancestor to that, you possess vast abundance spiritually, that you lack nothing spiritually, that you are complete and whole and full and abundant and powerful and graceful and creative and wildly, wildly, wildly abundant. Just think of the nature of that little seed, again, possessing millions and millions and millions and millions of trees. And the farmer knows that one little bitty seed, let's just say it's corn, that one little bitty corn seed, the farmer knows, and he looks at that little bitty seed and he says, carried within this little bitty seed are millions and millions and millions of more seeds and millions of more ears of corn, millions of more acres of food. So we as mystics, that is our knowing, that within us, and within our visions for the future, that completion already exists, complete and whole and full. The health and the healing that we're wanting to create, it's already done within ourselves and our being. The abundance and the success and the creativity that we're wanting to step into, it already exists. It's already done. To he who has, even more shall be given. To he who has not, even that which he has shall be taken from him. Meaning, to he who is wandering around saying, I have nothing, I'm broke, I can't do this, I have no love in my life, I'm sick, I'm lonely, nobody will give me a chance, the world is against me. That is, to he who has not in consciousness, to he who is looking out in the physical world and saying, this is who I am, then even that which he has will be taken from him. So this is not a mystical quote of a vengeful God or a unkind universe. It's a quote of principle. It's a story of consciousness. So if you identify yourself and realize who you are as a mystical being, and you claim your identity as this mystical farmer who carries the seed of your vision, knowing that it is already complete and whole within you, and you nurture that seed and you tend to it every day, and you take action throughout the day in your world, in your life, to support it and nurture it, then it will sprout, it will grow, it will multiply. A plant will come up and it will drop more seeds, and then those seeds will produce more plants and produce more seeds. This is the idea of, to he who has, more shall be given. It will grow and it will grow and it will grow and it will grow. To he who has not would be to think of the idea of a farmer who has a seed, and he looks at it and he goes, I just have this one little bitty seed. Oh, this really sucks. What am I going to do with one seed? And he just sort of tosses it onto his field, and he doesn't do anything to care for it, because he doesn't understand that carried within that seed is this limitless potential. And so the farmer who looks at it and says, well, I don't have any money, I don't have any crops, I don't have any family, I can't support myself, what's this useless little seed going to do for me? And he just sort of whiffs it away. Well, then anything that he wants to grow is going to come to naught, right? And then the depreciation will continue to escalate. He'll say, see that useless little seed? It didn't come to anything. Well, because he didn't care for it, nurture it, understanding the principle that there is endless potential carried within it. And so we as mystics, as we're moving into 2018, we look at the world and we say, all right, this is a ripe and fertile, energetic field of soil for me to play in. And I understand that as a mystic, my visions for the future are fertile potentials of limitlessness. And if I've had the inspiration that it's come to me to generate this vision, that means it's possible. I just have to be sure that I'm a noble farmer, a noble steward, a noble caretaker, who understands that these seeds of potential already exist complete and whole within the framework of consciousness. And it's my job to be a vessel through which, or a channel through which, those realities come into being. And the actions that I take in the physical world, the things that I do in the physical world, will support that energy to become physicalized. And that's the mystical, that is the position we claim as mystics. And that is going to make the difference between your ability to shape, to manifest, to realize your dreams and your visions for the future. And so remembering this tenet, this understanding, this principle of to he who has in consciousness will result in him having in the real world, to he who lacks in consciousness, he's going to continue to lose out. Right. And so continuing to practice this helps us become fluent in this language of consciousness. All right. And this language of creation, this language of bringing things to fruition, this language of generating success is planting seeds and letting them sprout up in various ways. And again, think of it just like a farmer as well, that when the farmer first plants his seeds, they do not sprout up right away, right? Sometimes it will take months for the seeds to start to even germinate and show up with little teeny beany, little bitty sprouts, right? Now, if the farmer were to have planted his seeds 6 months ago and his field is still showing no life, if he were to go in and dig up his field, he'd be a fool. But he continues to tend it. He continues to care for it. He continues to honor it, which is what we do with our commitment to our mystical work. That if we stay committed to the vision, we stay committed to pulling the weeds of our own consciousness. We pull the weeds of our limitations. We do our shadow work. We go in and we look at those obstacles that come up and say, I'm a victim, I'm powerless, I'm useless, this will never work. Or we look at where we've gotten rewards for giving up on things, or where we've gotten been rewarded for not sticking to what we've committed to ourselves, we've promised to ourselves to do. That over time, again, thinking of the farmer, that if we just stay committed, that over time, eventually those things are going to start to sprout. But what a lot of people will tend to do is they'll say, I'm doing my mystical work and I've been practicing and nothing's changing. And so they give up, or they get angry, or they say, this isn't working. And they pollute the field. It's like spewing poison all over the field and saying, this isn't going to work. And so then the farmer has to start all over again. So this is a part of learning to become fluent in this language of consciousness. And we remember over and over again, we're constantly reminding ourselves, inner world shapes outer world, consciousness shapes reality. The outer world has no physical creative power. It is a result. It is an effect. Our consciousness is the creative farmer. Our vision is the created seed. And so understanding this mystical concept helps us become fluent in our language of creation and success. And then over time, you'll start to see a little sprout here, a little sprout there. And how those sprouts are going to start to show up initially is in how you feel. You feel more peaceful. You feel more powerful. The external world does not determine whether or not you feel peaceful and powerful. You are immune to the reality of the external world. And when you start to feel those little shifts in your position point of peace and power, I want you to look at those things as, huh, I see how I'm feeling more balanced. I see how I'm feeling more ordered. It may only be a tiny little glimmer that pops in and out moment to moment, but you want to look at those glimmers as the little things sprouting up in this field of creation. All right. And those inner changes of balance and energy and order within yourself are going to be the first signs of those seeds of vision taking root. The physical stuff is going to take time, especially if there's a lot of, you know, if there's a lot of, you know, just think again, using the analogy of the farmer in his field, if there's a lot of weeds in the field, or there's a lot of stones in the field, or there's a lot of, you know, if the soil hasn't been fertilized in any way, shape, or form, if that consciousness has been quite, what would be the word, barren for a while, it's going to take a little bit longer. But as long as you continue to stay focused on this awareness, over time, it will start to come to fruition. And so this is why it's important for us to stick to the commitment and to really push through, to really, you know, this is where will and intent comes online, to that idea of commitment comes online. When things, you know, when it doesn't look like things are shifting, or it doesn't look like things are changing, or where you're noticing resistance, or you're giving up and you're like, oh, this is too hard, I don't want to do it. That's when you stay committed and you're like, okay, I understand the principle here. And I'm going to really push through when things get difficult. I'm going to continue to really amplify my inner vision. And I know that this is complete within consciousness, and it's just taking some time for the physical world to catch up. All right. And this is what builds that, you know, the four C's of the spiritual adventure. Consciousness, we were developing the consciousness. We understand it is complete and whole within this seed of awareness, which shapes our commitment. We stay committed to the vision. We understand the equation. We stay committed to the vision. That commitment then shapes our clarity. We know what to do, what little actions to do today, and then we'll know what action to take tomorrow. We may not know what actions to take 3 months from now. We don't know that now. Just like a farmer is not going to know exactly what date his little seeds are going to sprout, nor is he going to know exactly what date he's going to go in and harvest everything. But he knows that he needs to take action every day as it shows up for him. If he's paying attention and he's involved in the creation, he's going to know moment to moment what to do. That is a part of our clarity. And then through that, as we take action through that clarity, then our character evolves. It requires a different type of character to shape a beautiful, abundant, overflowing garden, or a beautiful, abundant, overflowing field of wheat or grain or corn or whatever it is. That the character of a farmer who cultivates that kind of growth is very different than the character of a farmer who has a field that is full of weeds and stones, and, you know, his cows are underfed and are unhappy. This is what is meant by the mystical statement: you shall know them by their fruits. You shall know them by their fruits. When you look at a farmer who has a beautiful field and his animals are loved and cared for and healthy, and the things he produces are beneficial, then you know, huh, that farmer's got something going on there. Right? There's something, you will know him by, he's working with some sort of, he's working with some other level of awareness than the one who lives just down the road or across the street, and his fields are barren and his animals are unhealthy, and he's a miserable so-and-so, right? So you start to say, all right, I understand this, that my character as I step into this vision, especially if my vision is grand and big, it's going to require me to be someone other than who I've been up to now. It's going to require me to be bigger and vaster and braver and less concerned about what other people think about me, and more committed and more willing to take risks and willing to step out of my comfort zone, right? A seed, in order for a seed to sprout, it needs to break out of the comfort zone of its shell. It cannot grow without it. And so we as mystics, and we talked about this in the ABCs of modern mysticism, we need to learn to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, especially as we're stepping forward into these bigger visions. So you need to check in with yourself and say, all right, what are my visions? What are my visions going to ask of me? What are they going to require of me? If I've got these big visions for my future in 2018, for more money or more love or more success or more influence or greater reach or whatever it is, what is that going to require from my character? Does it mean I'm going to have to get up 30 minutes earlier? Let's say it's a weight loss goal. Does that mean I'm going to have to get up 30 minutes earlier so that I can walk or jog? Or does it mean that I'm going to have to really grow some courage and being able to stretch and reach out to people who maybe I want to do business with? Or is it meaning, does it mean I'm going to have to expand my character, that I'm going to need to forgive my past, let go of all of those constrictions that have limited me in the past, or blaming other people? Is that going to be a part of my character? You know, looking at what your vision is for the future and saying, what is that going to require of me? Who am I going to need to evolve into being in order for that vision to take shape through me? All right. And what that will start to do is refine you as that farmer who holds that seed. What is required of a farmer who has this beautiful, abundant, fertile, rich, lush land where, you know, his animals are happy and healthy and his crops are grown? Well, what does he do? Well, maybe he gets up earlier than the farmer who lives across the street who has, you know, who complains and bitches and moans about, well, my stuff doesn't grow. Or maybe, you know, maybe he takes care of his seeds. Maybe he puts them in a special place and he brings them into ceremony, or he prays with them or prays over them. So he brings forth the life force that's in them. You know, what would be required of you as the farmer of this vision, the noble steward of this vision? And to be able to say to yourself, okay, I'm willing to do that. Yep, I'm willing to do that. If it requires an hour less sleep per day, okay, I'll do it. And I'll do it with a sense of, not from a sense of stress and, oh my God, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. Not from that, but it's like, I understand that this is what's necessary and essential to the growth of this vision. And because I want this vision to come through me as me, I'm absolutely willing to do it. Might not always be comfortable, might not always be easy. It might be scary sometimes to step outside of the comfort zone, but yeah, you know what? I'm willing to do it. And there might be some days that it scares you shitless, but you do it anyway. And then the next day you do something else. And then the next day you do something else. And then over time, this vision starts to shape itself through you. And then moment to moment, day by day, you know in that moment intuitively what to do to continue to propel it forward. You know, a lot of people will say, I'm going to set out my 12-month plan for 2018 so that in January I'm going to do this, in February I'm going to do this, in March, July, and August. Well, that's fine to have a structure, absolutely. But you also need to understand that there's going to be a lot of moving parts to this that you cannot plan for. Just like a farmer cannot plan for everything that's going to show up in his field, we can't plan for everything. We set an intention for the vision. The farmer has a vision and an intention for his plan for the year. And he holds true to that vision and that goal. But then day to day, moment to moment, he takes action as it arises. And that allows spontaneity and creativity and intuition and innovation and flow and fun to come forward, that creative flow that comes through a sense of play. Okay, so the vision is where we hold structure and we shape actions softly, but then we also allow room for spontaneity and growth to emerge as well, right? And so this is how we start to use, we don't use resolutions, but we shape this vision and we plant this in the seed of consciousness. And what we can also do as well is, just like a farmer has uses, you know, past experience, and he says, okay, it really, you know, he uses setbacks, he uses the disappointments that he's had in the past, he uses delays, he uses all of the limiting experiences that he's had in the past to help him understand what didn't work before. And we do the same thing. We look at our life and our disappointments and our delays and our setbacks, and we look at those and go, okay, what were those things teaching me? And when I had those delays and those experiences and those setbacks, what did they do to me? Did they shut me down? Did I use the common new age thing to say, well, if this is difficult, the universe must not want me to have it? You know, it's so interesting. I had a person several months ago now, who wanted to sign up for a program, and her credit card wouldn't go through. And so she said, you know, and she was really excited about the program, but her credit card wouldn't go through. And so she said, well, my credit card won't go through. This must mean the universe doesn't want me to take this class. And I was like, no, that's not what it means. It means that perhaps there's just, we need to try another way to register you for this class, right? And so when people look at setbacks, or they look at resistance, and they look at delays, and they say, well, this is just a sign that I'm not supposed to do it from the universe, I say, no, 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 no. This means that what is being required of you is you're being asked to be innovative. You're asked to be resilient. You're being asked to think of what's another way I can approach this. You're being asked to say, you know, how can I use my other resources? And so as a farmer, when there are setbacks, the farmer checks in and says, all right. You know, in the past, he will learn from his mistakes. He will learn from what didn't work. He will learn from looking at where he was coming from, a consciousness, a level of consciousness that did not serve or benefit him. And he just checks in and goes, yeah, I see. I see what caused that. I see what caused my limitation. I see where delays or resistance shut me down and set and convinced me to back out, or give up, or to blame something outside of me for my limitation. You know, as long as we believe that we have someone or something external outside of us to blame, then we will perpetuate our powerlessness to generate change. So let me say that again. As long as we believe that we have someone or something external from us to blame, then we perpetuate our powerlessness to generate change, right? So we use this, the setbacks in our life, and we say, okay, this isn't the universe telling me not to do it. It means I just need to approach this in a different way. And that might mean, all right, I just need to set back, catch my breath, reevaluate, figure out a different approach. The vision is still there. Again, it's just like somebody who would, we have the idea, the vision to climb Mount Everest. And a windstorm comes up, or a big snowstorm comes up that sets the climber back and says, you've got to wait. Well, most climbers do not look at weather and say, well, this must be the universe telling me not to climb the mountain. The climber says, well, what do I do then in this moment? I need to wait. I need to reevaluate my path. Now, having said that, you know, if an avalanche comes and knocks everything off, well, then too, the climber might say, okay, the timing isn't quite appropriate. I'll go back down the mountain. I'll reevaluate. I'll plan again. I'll continue to hold the vision. I'll continue to hold the vision and imagine me at the top of Mount Everest, and I'll plan for it next year. So the vision is never, ever given up. The seed is never, ever discarded. And the mystic never looks at what's going on in the external world to say, the universe must not want me to do this, or it's my mother's fault because she abused me when I was growing up that I can't do this. Or, you know, it's the economy, or it's Donald Trump, or it's my ex-husband, or it's all of these external things. We use those things to catch ourselves to where we're giving away our power, right? There is always a way. There is always a way. And so we use our lives, if we bump up against resistance, to become innovative, right? Again, you know, Albert Einstein said that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. The way that we're going to cultivate this vision, if it doesn't already exist in our life, then it's going to require us to do different things. It's going to require us to be innovative. It's going to require us to expand our character and to say, how do I approach this differently? How do I innovate? Okay, the first thing I'm going to innovate is my consciousness, that I know that it's complete and whole and totally done within my consciousness. That's the first thing I'm going to innovate. And then I'm going to innovate how I approach this, how I take action moving forward. And I'm also going to innovate how I approach things when it seems like stuff's going wrong. I'm not going to shut down like I used to in the past. I'm not going to give up like I used to in the past. I'm not going to blame it on the universe like I did in the past. I'm going to cultivate my inner power, and I'm going to move through it, move around it, dig under it if I have to, step back and figure out a way to jump over it if I have to. But I'm figuring this out, right? And as you do that, your character becomes something more and more and more powerful, okay? So all of this process, if you consider yourself as this noble steward, this farmer of your divine vision, and how a farmer who has this abundant land and this fertile, prosperous kingdom of growth, what is required of him to make that happen? That just doesn't show up. That comes through him as him. All right. And so what I want you to be able to do here with this little New Year's ritual is to consider what you want for your, so that's the teaching. So here's the practice and the little ritual. I want you to bring to mind what you want to shape as a vision for your future. And a fun way to do this is to get, I like to do it in a, if you've got a piece of paper in front of you, is to draw a circle, a big circle in front on the piece of paper in front of you, and divide that circle into 12 slices, like a pizza that has 12 slices in it. And in each of those slices, and realize as well that mystically speaking, working with the number 12 is a very powerful number. 3 times 4. Spirit is 3. Matter is 4. The number 4. Let me say that again. Spirit is represented by the number 3. Matter is represented by the number 4. 3 times 4 equals 12. So spirit times matter equals 12. So it's cool to have 12 little slices in your circle. And I want you to, and you could take some time with this as you move forward, to, in each of those 12 slices, put in areas of your life that you would like to transform, refine, improve in 2018. And so you might have a slice of money. There might be a money slice. There might be a career slice. There might be a spiritual practice slice. There might be a relationship slice. And you could do a personal relationship slice. You could do a professional relationship slice. You could have a health slice. You could have a play slice. You could have a travel slice. You could have a creativity slice. But these are all just ideas. You can add your own. You could have a living, an environment slice. Where do you live? What do you want your home to look like? You could have an animal slice, you know, if you've got animals in your life, or children slice. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Got 12. There's 12 there. But you can fill out your pie with your 12 slices, your pizza pie, any way you want. You know, look at your life and look at the different areas of your life. And if it's a slight, subtle change, you know, your health is pretty good, but you just want to, you know, you want to lose 10 pounds or you want to run a 5K or whatever it is. And you just look at these little areas of your life. And some of those areas in your life are going to have more meaning. They're going to be more important to you. And this is completely individual for you, absolutely individual. But I want you to have a full pie. I want you to have a balanced life. If your whole pie was career, then you would be a mess. If your whole pie was relationships, or if your whole pie was money, or your whole pie was spirit, you would not be a full, complete, integrated human being. There are many facets to us. This is why, you know, when somebody says, I want to know what my purpose is in life, and it's just got to be one thing. Well, that's just not true, because we are these multifaceted beings, that we have purpose in career. We have purpose in relationships. We have purpose in our spiritual practice. We have purpose in our money. We have purpose in our creativity. There's purpose in all of these things. So I want you to pull yourself out of the idea that you've got one purpose on this life, in this life. We don't. We have many purposes. And so take some time to structure this little pie and fill out these 12 things as it relates to what has meaning and importance for you. And then you're going to, again, spend some time with each of those little slices, and you're just going to write a couple of words on each slice. And if it relates to money, you could say, okay, money. I'd like to get out of debt, and I'd like to have, let's just say I'd like to have, if you know, write down what it is that you'd like to have in savings. Write down some money goals that you have as it relates to money. Put that in your money slice. Write down what you'd like to create in your career goals. You know, I'd like to write a book, or I'd like to start a coaching practice, or I'd like to expand my, you know, I'm a natural farmer, and I want to expand my, you know, I want to expand that. Write down what you want to be able to do with your spiritual goals, your relationship goals. It doesn't have to be a lot, but a few, you know, a few statements, a few words, a few sentences that allow you to spend time in each of those slices, right? With, you know, with your professional goals. Do you want a promotion where you work? Do you want to retire from where you work and you want to start your own business professionally? You know, your environment, your home. Do you want to move? Do you want to renovate? Do you want to redecorate? How do you want your environment to look? Do you want to become less cluttered? Do you want to become more organized? You know, take some time, play. What do you want with play? You know, you'd like to spend at least one day a week where it's just play. It's just screwing around. It's just out in the garden, or you getting to paint, or you getting to go bungee jumping, or you getting to go take a belly dancing class. We have to make time for play, for downtime, for just chillaxing and allowing the creative childlike nature to move. So interesting that I've done a lot of clarity sessions with people, and in many occasions the word play will come up and people will be like, play? Oh, how's that going to serve my spiritual practice? It's like, oh, because you don't have any in your life. And they'll say, well, yeah, I haven't, you know, I've always led a very serious life, and you know, there's lots to take care of, and I've got kids and a husband and a job and a career. I'm like, okay, well then you need to play. So find a place, make a list in your little pizza pie thing. Be sure you have play in there. In fact, that will be one of the slices of pie that I insist on. Okay. Travel. You know, where would you like to go visit? Now, you know, for some people, travel is not really important, but travel might be important. You know, travel, you could put in your pie, and you could travel to Northern California to come and see me at the retreat. That could be a part of your travel. Your professional relationships, your, do you want to alter your relationship that you have with your boss or your employees? Personal relationships, do you want to have more peace and love and care with your family, with your spouse, with, you know, those kind of relationships? And again, you don't have to take a lot of time with it, but I want you to be specific. You don't have to write down a whole bunch of stuff. But take some time, set aside some time to really consider the vision that you have for each of those slices of pie. Right? 5 or 6 points. And if it's just, you know, if it's a money thing and you're just like, I want to be out of debt and I want to have, you know, $50,000 in savings this year. Well, okay, that's fine. Whatever has meaning for you, that will require you to stretch a little bit beyond your comfort zone. Okay. You know, if the idea is travel and you're like, oh, I don't want to travel, but you know, the idea of maybe going on a retreat sounds really good. That's going to require you to stretch for you to get out of debt and cultivate a new relationship with money. That's going to require you to stretch. Even to play will require you to stretch because you've got to break out of your comfort zone to be able to allow that energy to flow and to move. Okay. So once you've got all of those things filled out in your pie and then you've been honest with yourself and you've really looked down and you said, okay, I'm willing to stretch here. I'm willing to push through what feels uncomfortable for me. And you've got that all sussed out. Then I want you to realize as well that in your pie that has the 12 slices, realize that at the very center of the pie is our intersection of peace and power, right? At the very center of that pie is that intersection of peace and power. And realize that all of the things that are listed in your slices of pie, that those things have a spiritual nature to them and they have a physical nature to them, that you will need to cultivate them energetically and spiritually and informationally. And you'll also need to do things in the physical to bring those things about. Not just going to pop up, not just going to drop in your lap, although some things will shift and change organically on their own based on the work that you're doing on the inside, but they will also require follow-up from you in the physical. So realize that in our pie, we've got the intersection of peace and power, right? You see the cross in the middle of that pizza pie. And so realize that in the center of that circle of your pizza pie with all of those 12 areas of your life, you exist at the very middle of that pie. You exist at the center of that, right? This is what we talk about in our mystical practice, that we are the center of our universe, that wherever we go, our reality takes shape around us. And so you are the center of that pie. And so all of these things are going to take shape around you, around your visions for them, around your level of consciousness to he who has. And so what you start to do with this pie is you spend time with each little slice and you bring to mind at each level as you go through it, let's say it's a money slice and it's the out of debt and having $50,000 in savings, whatever that is. And you start to bring into your consciousness that is already done. That is complete and whole. That goal is achieved. You're not vibrating high. You're not thinking positively and being like, ooh, ooh, you're just, it's done. And you ground that knowing that outcome is complete, of that vision is complete in that position point of peace and power. Again, we're not swinging into polarity of vibrating high to attract it. No, we're cultivating the knowledge that in consciousness, it is complete. It is done. And if we know something, if we have a knowing that something is done and complete, we are going to be in a position point of peace and power. Peace and power. And so in that position point of peace and power, you bring forth the vision of your financial goal of being out of debt and having $50,000 in savings in the bank. It's done. It's complete. And you hold that vision within that peace and power frequency for, I don't know, 60 seconds, just look at it, and then just take some time and go around each slice of pie and say if it's a career, your career goal that you've gotten a promotion, that goal is done. It's done. And you hold in the knowing that it's done and what that looks like. You know, if it's a career promotion, let's say you get a pay raise or that you've gotten the beautiful corner office or that you're traveling around speaking to more people, that you've got more influence at the job, that it's done. You're holding that awareness, that feeling, that knowing, that tone in peace and power, that position, that job, that career is yours already. And so you start to embody this tone of it is done to he who has in consciousness. It is complete. It's done. I am this now. I am it already. As it relates to your spirituality, enlightenment, whatever it is that you're wanting to do, whatever your goals are for your spiritual practice, that inspiration is already done. And so you hold that power that you are enlightened, that you have the ability to manifest, to create, to shape. It's done. That you are whole and healed and loved and honored and a part and a spark of God. You are that now. Travel. Again, I'm going to keep planting the seed. You visualize yourself at the retreat with me in Northern California, sitting at the foot of the redwoods, smelling the cool California air, hearing the crickets, feeling the embrace of nature around you. It's done. You're there. Or if you want to go to Bali, or if you want to go to Africa, that you're there, it's done. And you take time going around the circle at that position point of peace and power, again, which is the intersection of matter and spirit, masculine and feminine, positive electrical charge and negative electrical charge, the unification of opposites. It is literally the creative womb of the universe. There are no opposites in our position point there. And you just claim that it is done. You're not claiming that it's good and it's awesome and it's blissful and it's the bestest thing and it's love and it's light. No, you're just claiming it is done. It is done. And it's good, but it's done. And so you take your time, you go through the whole pie. And what you'll notice is that every single one of those slices feels the same. That when you possess, when you look at spirit and you feel that it is done nature from that position point of peace and power. That your whole life then, if you're looking at this entire circle of your life, this multifaceted picture, vision of your life, you've brought all of the facets together. And you're holding that entire vision in that frequency of it is done, peace and power. And you can visualize it if you want. If you want to run pictures through your mind at each stage of what it would look like for you to travel and be in that location, what it would look like for you to have that promotion and who you would be being when you're in that position point of play, what giving yourself that permission to take time to play would look like. What would it look like for your health to be strong and balanced and perfect and awesome and ordered and clear? Right? You visualize yourself in that embodiment. And then you just spend some time in holding that frequency of it is done. And you visualize, take some time to visualize each of those aspects. Then once you've got comfortable sort of investigating the entire pie, you know what seeds you're planting. So think of this idea that you're planting a crop. You're planting a crop and you're not just planting corn. You're planting corn and you're planting wheat and you're planting roses and you're planting bougainvillea and you're planting lavender. And you're planting bamboo, you're planting a bunch of different crops. The money seed is one crop, the career seed is another crop. You're planting this whole garden, this abundant garden with all of these different seeds that you're planting. And so you take this vision and you imagine that you are, again, your farmer standing in the middle of your garden. And you feel and you sense all of these crops around you, the money crop and the career crop and the play crop and the travel crop. And you can feel and sense them growing around you. And you, I mean, literally, as I talk about this, I feel my heart just opening. And this is a really important, it's a really important distinction for us to have when we're doing anything that's creative. You know, a lot of people think if I vibrate high, then I'm going to bring these things into fruition. And that's not accurate. When we're doing it from a position point of peace and power, we don't raise our frequency. We expand it. It expands out of us. Again, like imagining you standing at the very center point of that pizza in the middle of your crop, and you at the center of that, you're expanding your this energy out of you in a 360 degree top and bottom 3D circle. It expands out of you. So the refinement of our modern mystical practice is not that we're raising our vibration at all, not at all. We're refining it, getting clear about the vision, understanding that it's already complete and whole and total within consciousness. And then we're expanding it out like a big ball of golden light. So once you've gotten this vision and you're setting in the meditative practice and you feel that energy, then I want you to imagine that that energy is sourced from your heart, and you're standing in this field with all of your seeds planted and blooming, and you imagine this golden light expressing out from the center of your heart and expanding out of you, encompassing your entire body and encompassing your entire garden, the entire vision. And you are sustaining and supporting this entire vision in this huge ball that goes into infinity and out of infinity, and it supports your life and your world and your reality. This is what is known as the blessing of the inner sun. And as we move forward into the year of vision, we'll be using the blessing of the inner sun in more specific ways. But this is how we start with it. We start with it in our own life. You can't bring this degree of expression of energy into other people's lives until you've got it working in your own. And so we express and extend this golden light, and so that we imagine that we are standing in this golden field with all of our seeds blooming, and we're holding it in that frequency of our energy field moving outside of us as an expansion. So just think of the idea: when a seed grows, it breaks out of its little shell, what is it doing? It's expanding. It's in its expansion that it breaks open the seed. The shell of physical construct can't hold it anymore. And so it breaks open, and then that's when the seed starts to germinate. It's not because the seed starts to vibrate differently or vibrate high. It's because it starts to expand. The energy becomes, the container has served it to hold it like a womb. And when it's ready, it starts to expand. And so that's what we're doing. We're not vibrating high, right? And this too is part of the tools of our modern mysticism, is when we look at nature, this is why we say, look at the world, witness it, observe it, look at what's going on in the world, look at what happens in nature, look at what happens in the stars, look at what happens in a galaxy, look at what happens when a baby is born. Right. What is happening in order for that creative process to occur? There's nothing about vibrating high anywhere in there. It's about the potential life form being nurtured and held. And when it's ready to emerge, it expands and it breaks open. Right. So you take all of those visions, you generate the feeling that you'll feel in your heart as you've cultivated that position point of peace and power. And imagine that it's like a golden ball of light starting in your heart, and using your power of visualization, expand that light out and expand it out, and just allow yourself to be saturated in that frequency, in that tone of light. And spend some time with this. And while you're in that position point of you being the farmer standing at the very center of your divine field, this is where you start to really embody the it being doneness, the completion of it. You start to embody it. You start to feel that in your body, that it is done. Your money goals are done. Your creation goals are done. Your play goals, they're done. Your relationship goals are done. Your health goals, it's done. And you go around the circle and you just hold it. It's done. And you start, and what that starts to do is that combination of energy and information. So the information that you write, all the words that you write in the little slices of pie, that's information. Those are words. That's language. And then the energy that you're cultivating as you cultivate this position point of peace and power, and you expand it, you grow it, you amplify it. Again, let's make a very clear distinction. You're not raising the vibration. You're just expanding it. You're pushing it out. That this combination of energy and information shapes reality. And what this starts to do is this energy and information, it influences your cells. What that does then is it influences your cells, is it starts to alter your DNA. Your DNA is an energetic and physical translator, transmitter, and receiver of physical reality. Think of it like a radio signal. The DNA is what creates the 3D picture of our reality, and it also determines what we interpret and what we perceive. So this information, this process that you're doing, it's not altering reality, it's altering you, and it's altering your DNA, and it's altering your consciousness. And your consciousness and your DNA are the containers of and the shapers of your reality. This is what is meant by the understanding of inner world shapes outer world. So this process that you're doing is doing that. Any of the mystical work, when I say you guys do your daily peace and power rituals, I'm not doing that to bore you. I'm doing that because anytime you combine information and energy, so the words of peace and power, that's information, and then the energy that is cultivated as you do that, that is literally altering your consciousness and your DNA. And over time, as that consciousness and that DNA is altered, it's going to alter reality, right? And then as you do this, as you move forward in your mystical work in the new year, you'll notice where resistance comes up. You'll notice where you feel tempted to fall back into old patterns. You'll notice where old patterns might say, oh, you can't do that. You talk yourself out of it, or you'll want to quit if something goes rough. That's where you pull the weeds. That's considered the weeds. Or what in mystical scripture is called the tares, T-A-R-E-S, that the mystical teacher Jesus said that, you know, you've got to go out into the field of creation and pull out the tares, T-A-R-E-S. You got to weed your garden. And so when obstacles come up, when fear starts to come up, or you say, I can't do this, or this isn't working, or this is the same old, or it's not happening fast enough, or I'm not brave enough, or I'm too old, or whatever it is that comes up, those are the tares, those are the weeds. And you spend time with them, those weeds, and you use your mystical alchemical practice, and you witness them, and you go, ha ha, I see, this is just an old pattern. I'm going to whip that weed out. I'm going to look at it. I've got to look at the weed first before I pull it out. I'm not going to pretend that it's not there. I'm going to spend time with it and say, this is a pattern. This is a habit that has empowered me in the past and that other people have empowered in me. And I'm not going to give it any more power. My vision and my understanding of energy and information is far more powerful than this old limiting habit. And so I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to choose to do something different. And that's how you refine your character. Right? And so you allow that balloon of golden light to expand, and you embody this knowing and this that it is done. And you can spend as much time as you want in that bubble, right? And you spend some time in that bubble, and you just, you claim that it is done and that this is your focus. And this becomes something that you can do daily as a supplement to, upgrade to your current peace and power practice. This adds a lot of information to your peace and power practice, right? It gives you something to build. This is why we're doing 2018 as the year of vision, because this deepens and intensifies all of the stuff we've been doing up until now. And you need to have a strong foundation of peace and power under you in order for this to really work in a meaningful way. Okay. And as you're in this golden light, and you're holding this golden light, and I want you to bring all of the incidents of your past into that light, the good and the not so good, where you've had failures, where people have hurt you, where you've had loss, where you've had trauma, and bring all of that, all of those past incidents into that light. And you don't need to, you're not going to vibrate them away. You're not going to pretend that they're not there. We just want our awareness to neutralize them. And so you bring all of the times where you've judged yourself harshly, or somebody has hurt you, or you've tried something and you failed and you've said, well, I'm never going to do it. You just bring all of that, those things, those perceived failures into that light, and you just witness them. You just observe them. And then you, again, this is about neutralizing it. And then you're going to hold the world and all of the people you love in that light. And you're going to bless them, and you're going to release them. And the same with all of the past incidences. As you bring them into the light, you're just going to bless them and then release them. You bring the whole world. You can expand your bubble out if you want, and expand it out further to hold the whole world and hold the people you love, and you just bless them and release them. The people who you love, and the people who've hurt you, the people who've betrayed you, the people who've blessed you. And you just hold them in that golden light, and you bless them and release them. And then I want you to thank the year 2017 and all that you experienced in it, all of the good and the bad. And you're like, 2017, man, you dragged me through the meat grinder. But thank you. You've refined me. With all of the shit and all of the goodness, thank you. And you bless it and you release it. And then you bring to mind the future of 2018. And you welcome it. And you just say, I've planted these seeds in the field of my year, and I am making it welcome. And I call forth out of myself all of the goodness and the power and the peace that is going to be essential to planting and reaping the rewards of my vision. And then when you're ready to leave, and you feel, I mean, even as I talk you through this, holy cow, oh, I want to go run around the room. My heart is just so full. It's not a high vibration thing at all. It's amplitude. It's power and strength. It's this really strong frequency. It's not high. It's not high vibration. It's something far different. Again, it's the blending of opposites. There are no opposites here. We're not looking at this as good or bad or right or wrong. This is why we're bringing all of the stuff that has blessed us and cursed us together, so that there are no opposites. And only when there are no opposites, when there's an integration of energy, does creation happen. Masculine and feminine come together, life. Right? So then you just expand into 2018 and you say, I welcome you and I'm ready. And it is done. And again, once you've done it the first time, once you've got your pie all sorted out and you walk through that process, you'll be able to take 10 minutes and do that. And man, holy shit, how that will shape you as you move forward will be really, really powerful. So that's the practice for that, for that. And what I'm going to do for that, you know, I want you to be able to do this on your own, taking this this class and this lesson to do that, to move it on your own. But I will do a guided meditation so you have it. But having said that, I don't want you to wait for me to put that together. Okay? I don't want you to wait. You know, I give you these tools and this call, and I say, go play with them, and then I'll give you some resources to support you as you move forward. But I don't want you to wait for me to put the guided meditation together for you. I want you to use it now. All right? And you can just listen to the recording of this. I will post it right away after we do the call. And you can listen to the recording of it and follow through of it again and do it. Start to do it now. It is really a powerful thing. And then as you move forward into 2018 and you make this, again, remember why I have you do this energetic work. It's a combination of energy and information. That energy and information alters consciousness and it alters our DNA. DNA is literally like a film projector within each and every single cell that we have that enables us to perceive, receive, and experience our reality based on who we are being, right? Again, the analogy is of those two farmers. There can be one farmer on one side of the road whose crops are dismal and he can't get anything to grow. And then there's this other farmer on the other side of the street whose crops are abundant and he's happy and healthy and things are good. It's because of this understanding. It has nothing to do with the dirt. It has nothing to do with the weather. It has nothing to do with the universe. It is about the consciousness of each of those farmers. And so this is why we do the work that we do in Mystics, is to alter us so that our consciousness becomes the fertile ground, the fertile soil in which the seeds of our visions are planted and grow. Okay. Me, as your teacher, as your mystical mentor, I tell you how to do it. I give you the tools, and then I say, now go do it. I cannot do it for you. You must do it for yourself. And that's a blessing. That's a treat. If I were to do it for you, I would be disempowering you. Anytime you go outside of yourself to ask somebody else to do something for you, you are disempowering yourself. And anytime somebody steps up and says, okay, I'll do it for you, then they are disempowering you. So my job as your teacher, as your mentor, is to give you the tools and say, go do it. And if you struggle, I say, you can do it. If it's a challenge, I say, okay, here's some more tools. Put them to work. You can do it. I'm not going to do it for you. You do it. That's how you become a master. That's why there are apprentices and there are mentors and teachers and apprentices. And then over time, as you develop these skills, they become yours. They become yours. And then you take them out into the world and you plant more seeds. Not my seeds, your seeds. And you gain more and more character and more commitment and more strength and more power. And you start to see how it starts to work. Right? So, again, we'll do some really cool work moving forward in the new year with this blessing of the inner sun. And again, if you've taken the initiation class number one, and as we roll into when we do the initiation class number two, we'll be doing a lot more of that stuff too. So that's the teaching. That's the ritual. That's,